All right, here's the follow-up. Roy, go ahead. You have whatever in your mind. Go ahead and share.
Well, the bottom line, when we read all the way through the chapter, which we've read before, you know, the last time we read it together was 2017, October of 2017, 3 years ago.
So,
yeah. And we read the whole book, I think, in 2016 and another time in 2002, I think. Do you have it written too, Julie? Yeah.
I just have 2017.
Yeah, and I think that was just that one chapter. But so tonight in going through it, you know, at the end, what I'm left with is, well, this is the Lord's work. You know, this is, I can't do this. I can't make this happen. I can't make that derivation happen. So then as Doug was sharing, not from the chapter, but just doing some more sharing, I just was flipping back through and looking, because I remember at the end thinking, the only way we increase in the Lord and He increases in us is through suffering and trials and stretching, being stretched, right? Really. Because a need has to present itself. Otherwise, we just naturally go down, you know, get pulled down. But when the Lord sees to it and allows just life to happen and trials, etc., and then we have a need for the Lord, a much greater need than what we recognize daily. You know, there are those times where He really registers Himself upon us. And then, as I was looking back, Sparks said that very thing, that that he's talking about difficulties and adversities, and in effect he says, Paul says, this is the Holy Spirit's material, these are the Holy Spirit's instruments for working Christ into us. If we are not rebellious and not bitter, so that's our part, because we can get hard in the trials. And you know, sometimes we feel initially the hardness, the bitterness, but the Lord just keeps working with us, and He eventually gets what He wants, unless we just turn our backs on Him. But under the government of the Holy Spirit, suffering and trial, difficulty and adversity will affect this. And I wrote, thank God. But one thing that really stood out to me as far as the something I can take away, you know, tonight from this is the talking about the our part is we must contemplate the Lord Jesus in spirit and be much occupied with Him. We must have our Holy of Holies where we retire with Him. And again, that is that quiet time, that time of the renewing of the mind, of sitting before Him, still reading, seeking Him,
studying.
Yeah, it's not
just
a frivolous time. It's reading the Word, reading good Christian books, but having that secret place where we spend time with Him, because that contemplation is not going to come apart from that. Because there are so many hundreds of things in life to be occupied with, preoccupied with. So I think that really is our part. There's always our part, His part, our part. And then he says, looking at the Lord Jesus, contemplating Him, we shall be changed into the same image. The Holy Spirit will operate upon our occupation. Now, it gives Him something to work with. And I'm not saying that the only time we contemplate the Lord Jesus is when we're sitting in quiet time. We can do that anytime. We can do that as we're laying in bed at night, going to sleep, as we're awakening throughout the day.
Doing dishes,
the mundane, the work. But I think there is that special time set apart where we give Him the time to talk to us and, you know, really, really have that time of looking off and away to Jesus.
It
because today I had a lot of free time at school, so I'm reading Lance Lambert's book, Jacob I Have Loved. So I had to read that every few years because I'm such a Jacob. But anyway, he was talking about Jacob again, you know, at Bethel, where he had the revelation. And just like Peter, James, and John, and Saul getting knocked off his horse and seeing that revelation of Jesus Christ. And for Jacob, it was the house of God at Bethel. But the revelation itself did not change the man. It took the tribulation and the trials, like you said, to bring him into that revelation. And that there's always that day of Jabbok, you know, when we're finally ready to let go of our own strength. Mm-hmm. And that he was saying today, which is really reassuring to me, because I can knock myself crazy sometimes why it's taken so long. But he says, you know, if we're seeking the Lord, it doesn't matter if it's short time this long, you know, not to get caught up in this. That the thing is to keep seeking the Lord, and he'll bring us to the Jabbok. Because like you said, we can't take ourselves there. He knows when we're ready, and when we're ready, he'll take us there. And that's his work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Well, Jabbok is actually just in Jordan, the place of cutting off.
That's where the old Jacob got circumcised, and Israel came into being. I just want to speak to those that work long hours. Let me talk about the inheritance. I just want to read these verses in Colossians 3, verse 22. Slaves, that would be, if you transfer that over to our culture, they would be employees. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters. So can you be occupied by the Lord in that position? 1 Peter chapter 2 makes it very clear you can. Even if they're unfair, you find grace with the Lord. In other words, grace is available right there on the job. Slaves, obey your masters on the earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. There it is. On the job. That's godliness. If you're fearing the Lord in this context, you're exuding godliness. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, earnestly, from the soul, as for the Lord and not for men. So is that a private time with the Lord? No, he's present. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward consisting of the inheritance. So the inheritance isn't, you know, something that involves something in your life that's separate from work. It encompasses everything. Everything in your life is holy ground. It's sacred. Your job is holy. Why? Because if you're serving as unto the Lord, you'll receive the reward consisting of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So whether you're in your time with the Lord, or you're being that renewal, or you're whatever you're doing, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10 says, do all to the glory of Jesus Christ. So it is the Lord Christ whom you serve, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong. In other words, we're going to be judged according to our works. And this receiving of wrong that he has done, and that without partiality. In other words, we are going to be measured, saints. We are going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to weigh us. And he's going to look for an image of himself. And 30-fold, that's good. 60-fold, that's better. And 100-fold, that's the best. So, as we think about our lives, it is a stewardship. And the more we go on with the Lord, I think the more we're aware that we need more grace than we had previously. And so those that receive the 100-fold are those that are appropriated the most grace and give back to the Lord the fullness of the travail of his, not only the suffering on the cross, but the fullness of his travail in the person of the Holy Spirit for his formation in us, in his life. So the hearts are being weighed, tested every day. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3, he says, we're approved of God, who is constantly testing and approving our hearts. So the approvedness of us before the Lord is an ongoing process. We're being tested and approved all the time. And Paul was very much aware of this in his walk with the Lord. So I think whatever we're doing, sometimes we need to ask the Lord, do we need to adjust anything in what we're doing that involves, can I be doing something to redeem the time? You know, Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's redeeming the time, knowing the days are evil. Is there anything that I need to trim and to reprioritize in order to redeem the time? So you can ask the Lord that, and I do, and I find that I'm constantly being adjusted. And the more adjusted that I am personally coming to the Lord in all various details, allowing the Spirit of God to be more resident boss, as Watchman Nee would say, then there's more of a sense of blessing and rest. And so just leave that with you for whatever it's worth. Okay? Any other thoughts? Yes.
Nothing's wrong with that, because, you know, I'm just really, I'd love to have a few hours a day to be able to do that, but I think I appreciate your saying what you did, because I know that's a constant question that I get from people that, boy, I just, you know, I only have X amount of time, or I can't. Does that mean, you know, what does that mean? And so, I love reading Brother Lawrence, because he was just so busy, a little busy little monk, but yet his whole thing is, you know, the book is practicing the presence of God. So what is, I mean, it's one thing I could sit and read and be, and feel like, man, you know, I'm in the heavenlies here, but then when you're with somebody else, then how do I continue to practice the presence of God? And how do I continually, with my mind, to reel it in at work? And that's what I appreciate about Brother Lawrence, is, yeah, you get so caught up in the busyness of stuff, but it's like, oh, just take a couple minutes. Thank you, Father. Just thanking Him, just like you said, to take those few minutes. Thank you. Well, what do I do next? Well, okay, we're off of doing this. Well, let's go do that. You know, I mean, just constantly talking to the Lord, you know, all the time, and keeping Him in actively engaged in our lives. And what does that mean? Because we're going to be doing that throughout eternity, you know. And because my thoughts can just be so distracted. I mean, I could sit down and try to read, and they're so distracted everywhere, you know. So what does it mean now to have my mind exercised before Him and constantly coming into His presence?
And that's even just recognizing that you always are in His presence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Recognizing that. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's it. I like that word. I like that thought better. But that's true. That I am constantly, and He is constantly there in me, and that relationship to continually develop that love relationship and enjoy that grace relationship. So, you know, so we spent a weekend with two other lovely saints. And so what is it? Iron sharpens iron. You know, when you're with somebody for that period of time, that's really where that measure of Christ, that's where we're tested. And that's where that comes out, in humility and grace and deferring to one another and thinking of one another, you know. And that's, so the Lord's really had to recontextualize that throughout all my years of, you know, just couldn't do anything without, you know, oh my gosh, I got to spend time with the Lord, you know. And so He's had to really adjust me throughout the years so much. Well, if I'm with this person, then if I'm not manifesting Christ, then I guess what? All my years of spending time with Him has just been not. And so that's where I'm learning, I should say, then am I going to put on that love and that grace, you know, accept more grace and that grace upon grace during these most difficult trials, during those, like Lori brought out, in these most things, because that's really, I think that's where it's very tested. So I appreciate that, that just it is the measure of grace that we've been able to assume.
Yes. Yes. So we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to have fellowship and, you know, what's coming up this week with All Hallows Eve and Samhain. So we just, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, as we think about our gathering together on Friday, we will be ready to do executive prayer and to deal with the things that need to deal with leading up to the election, especially this Halloween being the full moon time as well. You know, the enemy is going to be very active. So may we be alert, not afraid, but alert, and walking in the full armor of God as we face this occult season leading up to Samhain on November the 1st, that we'd be alert and standing in the power and the authority that we have to bind and loose that which represents satanic activity and make a way for your church to continue to progress towards consummation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.